My dear friends, today is officially Mother's Day. The President of the United States proclaimed this Sunday as Mother's Day to express the boundless affection, respect, and gratitude we feel for our mothers. This proclamation was issued in accordance with a resolution of the Congress of the United States, which was approved back in 1914, to set aside the second Sunday in May each year as Mother's Day. Now, the American people has a penchant for setting aside special days for special remembrances. Father's Day, Flag Day, Citizenship Day, May Day, United Nations Day, Armed Forces Day, Arbor Day, and many others. They're not exactly legal or public holidays, but they are nevertheless observed by our people in one way or another. And it is a pleasant custom, and a socially useful one, if it helps us to carry over the message of the one specially appointed day to all the other days of the year. I selected my subject, people whom I like very much, without any special reference to Mother's Day. Mothers are not people whom we like very much. They are people whom we love very much, or not at all. And there's a great deal of difference between loving people and liking them. There are many people whom you and I like, but whom we do not particularly love. Love is a category of human affection all its own. I suppose that more has been said and written about love than about life or death or any other major phenomenon of human existence. And it still remains as indefinable, as mysterious, as baffling as ever. It is so rare and precious an essence that we reserve it for the very few, for those in the very close circle of our intimate lives. And we feel exalted and uplifted if we know ourselves to be embraced in such a love. It is an elemental force. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it, we read in the Bible. And the noblest of all love is mother's love. For it knows more of sacrifice and more of compassion. And it is more greatly needed. But I speak this morning of a far lower category of human affection. I speak of people whom I like very much. Not because they are intimately bound up with my life, or are members of my family, or closely related to me, or even of people who are distantly related, but unfortunately not far enough removed. I'm not thinking this morning of unusual people, of unusually gifted people. I'm not thinking of outstanding scholars or artists or scientists or statesmen whom I admire very much. I admire them very much because of the preeminent contributions which they are making to this world. But while I salute and praise such people, I may not particularly like them. We do not always love those whom we admire, or even like those whom we admire. There are also people whom I respect greatly, and to whom I am inclined to show deference, because they are old, because they have lived long and useful lives, or because they occupy important positions or posts and are rendering useful service to their community. But they may not at all be people whom I especially like, if they do not somehow tug at my heart by their personality, by their qualities of lovable humanity, if they do not make me feel better as a human being. Now, the people whom I like may be found both in exalted positions and in very low positions. They may be rich, they may be poor, they may be educated, or they may not be particularly learned people. And I like them not because they evoke my admiration or my sympathy, but because of the style of their soul, because of some nameless grace which pervades their entire being, their bearing, behavior, style of their soul. These kind of people make me feel good, warm inside. It is like listening to some very fine music. Nothing is really said, no words are spoken, and yet you feel better for having heard that music. And that music speaks differently to each listener. Each listener receives a message according to his needs, or whatever happens to be the pull of the magnet of his heart or mind at that particular moment. Something is communicated, something which stirs you, moves you, uplifts you, comforts you, inspires you. Music, said Beethoven, music is a higher revelation than philosophy. Music is a higher revelation than philosophy. And so, I believe, is the revelation which comes to us out of human lives, which we feel to be genuine, which ring true, which have the strength and dignity of simplicity and the exquisite gallantry of humaneness. These are the thoroughbreds of the world. And whether they have much or little of earthly goods or power or learning, they are the people whom men of goodwill everywhere really like. And it is they who receive the universal tribute, spoken or unspoken, of human affection. The book of Proverbs, you may recall, does not say a great name is better than precious oil. A great name is better than precious oil. It says a good name is better than precious oil. Tov shem tov mi shemen tov. Now I stand in reverence before great human talent, genius. I honor and esteem every worthy achievement and creation of the mind or the hand of man. But I inordinately like the men and women who may not have great accomplishments to their credit, but who demonstrate a rare talent for life, a rare talent for living, who by the example of their daily lives, the manner in which they comport themselves under all the searching experiences, the wear and tear of life, the manner in which they measure up to the sudden challenges and the unpredictable misfortunes and tragedies of life move me and teach me to appreciate more fully what is genuine greatness in humanity. Now, my likes and dislikes are not especially my own. They are authenticated in scriptures and confirmed by the rabbis and shared by a great number of people. I like simple people. The Bible says God loves purity of heart. Ohev tahar lev. Who shall ascend into the mountain of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? Who is the man who is most acceptable to God? Neki chapayim uvar levav. He that has clean hands and a pure heart. Nothing is more simple than greatness, wrote Emerson. Indeed, to be simple is to be great. I dislike the vulgarity of affectation. I'm suspicious of the counterfeit. The hypocrite, as a rule, is very transparent, and his triumph is but for a moment. Simchat chanef aderaga. And his trust, his confidence, is, as the Bible said, a spider's web. I like people who do not try to impress me with their importance. A genuine article speaks for itself. I shy away from people who are walking commercials. The rabbis advised men, have a shafal ruach, be humble, humble spirit, be modest. Gavat Adam Tashpilenu, a man's pride will bring him low. Ushefal Ruach Yitmoch Kavod, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. When President Lincoln, himself a man of great humility and modesty, who never tried to impress people, when President Lincoln was informed of the death of a general who was known to have been very vain during his lifetime, and when the president was told that his funeral had been largely attended by great crowds of people, he replied, if the general had only known how big a funeral he would have had, he would have died long ago. I like people who do not carry a chip on their shoulder, who are not always complaining. I've been slighted, I've been overlooked, I've been wronged, I've been deliberately insulted, everybody's turning against me. Such people make themselves and the people about them very unhappy. And such people are never liked. They're so insecure in themselves. If they only knew that their dignity and security lay not in the hands of others, but only in their own hands. I like people who are not always looking for excuses. Shifting the responsibility upon the shoulders of others. The story is told of Sam, who got home very late one night. He had told his wife that he was to go to a meeting. Actually, he spent the evening, long hours until the wee hours of the morning, playing cards with his boon companions. When he got home, he thought he'd tiptoe in. His wife wouldn't notice his coming. And he did tiptoe in, but suddenly he heard his wife coming down the steps, and he quickly hid behind the couch. And his wife came down and said, Sam, what are you doing behind the couch? What are you looking for? He said, Becky, to tell you the truth, I'm looking for a good excuse. I like people who themselves like people. Regardless of their station in life, or their background, or their family connections, or their color, or the church they go to. Such people who never build walls in scorn and plaster them high with pride, who quite instinctively are friendly and helpful to all. Such people are very rare to find. And when you do, you have found God's noblemen. Our sages said a very remarkable thing. Have a miyakir at Kol Hodam. Hold all men in high esteem as if they were souls of great value. Have a miyakir. Hold them very dear. Everyone, all men. Not only those in your own social set or those who are your cultural peers or belong to the same ancestral stock. Be well disposed to all whom God created and show them the same honor that you would wish others to show you. Heve ohev et abriot, all who were created. Heve ohev et abriot umechabedan, and honor them. Now those who are so disposed, our rabbi said, were blessed with what they call the Ayin Tova, the good eye, the eye that sees goodness in all men, or were possessed of the Lev Tov, the good heart, the heart that has sympathy and understanding for all men. There's a fine sentence in the book of the prophet Zechariah. The word of the Lord which came to the prophet Zechariah declared, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Mishpat Emet Shefotu, render true judgment. But that was only part of it. The rest was even more important. The chesed, the rachamim, asu, ish et achiv. Show kindness and mercy, each to his brother. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the stranger, or the poor, and let none of you devise evil against his brother in your heart. Justice is important. Shefot, emet, render true judgment. But it's not enough. To be correct, to be law-abiding, to be formally impeccable is not enough. Warmth, graciousness, the milk of human kindness, is what nourishes mankind. Olam chesed yibaneh, the whole world is established upon loving kindness. On people who like one another sufficiently to help one another gladly and spontaneously for all men, regardless of their station in life, rich or poor, learned or unlearned, strong or weak, all men need help of one kind or another, and all men, regardless of their station in life, can help in one way or another. And I like people who go through life as if they were needed. They are the people of God's own choosing. And they are the people who know God. I sought my soul, but my soul I could not see. I sought my God, but my God eluded me. I sought my brother, and I found all three. Eliezer, the wise and faithful steward of Father Abraham, Eliezer, was sent by the patriarch to the country of his kindred, to the city of Nahor in Mesopotamia, to find a wife for his son Isaac. How should Eliezer go about it? Abraham gave him no instructions. What criteria should he apply? How would he know that the maiden whom he chooses will indeed be the one which was appointed by God for Isaac? Shall it be beauty alone? If she were very fair to look upon, would that be enough? Certainly that would not be a deterrent. It would certainly not disqualify her. But the wise Eliezer knew that physical beauty was not enough for an ideal life's companion. There must be something more, some grace of spirit, some radiance of soul. And so when he arrives in Nahor, what should he do? Should he go to the elders of the city and get the financial rating of all its leading citizens? Should he inquire about the most important man in town and what dowry was available for the daughter who would marry the son of the renowned Abraham? What should he do? Eliezer pondered the question long, thought about it much, and finally he fixed upon a test. If the maiden who would meet him as he came to Nahor, meet him, a tired, travel-weary wayfarer, would meet him by the spring of water, and he would say to her, "Pray, let down your jar that I may drink." And she would reply, "Drink. And I will also water your camel." She would be the one whom God appointed as wife for Isaac. And Rebecca met the test, not knowing, of course, that she was being tested, when Eliezer said to her as she came up from the spring where she had filled her jar, "Pray, give me a little water, drink from your jar." She said, "Drink, my lord." And she quickly let down her jar upon her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will now draw for your camels also until they have done drinking." And so she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran again to the well to draw, and she drew for all his camels. Eliezer gazed at her in silence. He knew that the Lord had prospered his journey. What was the test? Why, the native courtesy of the heart. A ready kindness to a total stranger, and even to his thirsty beasts of burden that had traveled many weary miles in the heat of the desert. My dear friends, every man is put to some test in his life. The poor man by his poverty, the rich man by his wealth, the learned man by his learning, the merchant by his business, the suffering man by his suffering. And those who stand their tests well, those who meet the unforeseen situations which arise with a quick, sure, and almost automatic correct response, they are the valiant and likable people of the earth. They shine, as Shakespeare said, like a good deed in a naughty world. I like people who smile through their tears, who build upon the ruins of their lives, who have been hurt, oh, ever so deeply, but no one would ever know it. They have grappled with their sorrow and have prevailed. They bear their burdens silently and bravely. Such people are guideposts on our own trackless way through life. To know them is to find help in our own sorrow. We learn from these men and women who have traveled and are traveling in company with pain. We learn from them how to go out into our own darkness and put our hand into the hand of God. These kind of people, they communicate to us some dark wisdom, some blessed insight, which only those who have wrestled with the dark angel can impart. To come into their presence is to be humbled and challenged before the unconquerable spirit of man. There you stand on holy ground. And finally, I like people who know how to stand alone, without any fanfare, without any dramatics, who know how to stand alone. This is what I believe in. This is what I do. This is how I live. Others may not like it. Others may think differently. I have no quarrel with them. But this is my way. Such men and women do not defy public opinion. Quite unconsciously, they ignore it. They obey an inner prompting. They are true to themselves, that is, to their selfless self, undemonstratively, with no banners flying, live their own lives. Now, these are some of the people whom I like very much. I wonder if you like the same kind of...